know, this summer I've been preaching from the Gospel of John, and I've been helping us see how John's Gospel is different than the other Gospels. John's Gospel wants us to see Jesus for who he is. In fact, he steps out of the way and says, Jesus, you tell him who you are. And we find seven times, we find the seven great irons of Christ. In John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. John 10:7, he says, I'm the door to the sheep. In John 10:14, he says, I am the good shepherd. And in John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then the last seven great I ams is in John 15, where he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He helps us understand who Jesus is. And he wants to paint a portrait of Christ for us, that we would know him. Not knowing with an intellectual knowledge, but knowing in our hearts. See, by the way, there's a difference in that. There's a lot of people today that believe in Jesus. They believe in God. But you know what? Only when he's in our heart is there a change that takes place. Only when he's in our heart, only when he changes us from the inside out. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how you're saved. Amen? By grace through faith. And a lot of people say, well, you know, there's many ways to get to heaven. You've got to find one of them. I want to show them what the Bible says. The Bible, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. But you remember also, the Gospel of John, you're going to see this word for believe. The word pistuo in the Greek language. It means a conviction. It means that you trust in something. And what he's trying to help us understand is we must put our trust in Jesus. Remember how we looked at the nobleman's son there in John chapter 4? Whenever the nobleman came and said, my son, he's very sick. Would you come, Jesus, and heal him? And Jesus said, hey, go your way, your son lives. And he said this in the Bible. He believed the word. He believed the word that Jesus said, and he went. He acted on the word. He went home. And by the way, his servant saying, as he was coming towards the house, a little way from the house, they met him and said, your son lives. He said, but what hour did the fever leave him? He says, at this hour, it was the same hour that Jesus said, your son lives. Remember we looked at John chapter 6, when Jesus sees the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, probably 20,000 people on that Galilean hillside. And as he shares the gospel, we know that Jesus is reminding us that we should never measure a situation by our resources. See, the disciples were looking at it from their perspective. They were saying, hey, we don't have enough money to buy enough bread for all these people. But the problem was, they left God out of the equation. Listen to me, Dave. There's some that are here today, you're leaving God out of the equation. And as long as you leave God out of the equation, you're in trouble. Because, to be honest with you, God plus nothing is everything. Amen? All things are possible with God. And we must trust him completely. And we saw the feeding of the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. But today I want to look at another story. And remember, another difference in John is the fact that he wants us to see a miracle with a message. And that word miracle, excuse me. That word miracle is unlike the other words in the New Testament. In other words, they use the word dunamis, the word for dynamic or dynamite, a power. It's a powerful thing that happens. Some use the word teros, which means a wonder, something that they just wonder, how did Jesus do that? But John uses a different word. He used the word semeion. It is a word that means a miracle with a message. Today, I'm going to look in John chapter 11. If you have a copy of the scripture today. And I want us to look at another one of those miracles with a message. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot here. And I'm going to try to take my time and go through it as God leads us. But I want to tell you something. When you go to John chapter 11, it's one of the most powerful passages in all the scripture. Because this is like a well that you go to. Every time you draw water, there's fresh water. As you look at the principles that are found. But see, I know today, there's some people that are in this place, and people come every Sunday. Maybe you have broken dreams today. Maybe there's sickness in your life. Maybe you have a family member that's sick. Maybe you've had a disappointment in your life. Maybe you're making a change. I know we have some friends from Mariposa today with us, several that are visiting from there. And I know some of them are making a change in their life right now. They're downsizing. They're changing from where they used to live to a new place. And that's a change that takes place. And some of us are going through maybe a delay or even maybe a death of a loved one. Whatever it is, listen to me, Nate. I want you to know that God, this passage is going to tell us in John 11, that God can take our broken dreams and turn them into new beginnings. Aren't you glad he does that? How many times in your life, my life, when we everything seemed around us just to be broken, it just didn't work out the way we were hoping for? And the Lord shows up and he changes us. By the way, I don't want you to miss that. He changes us. See, sometimes he doesn't change our circumstances, he changes us. I know we don't like that. We say, well, I want God to do it my way. Let me tell you what. God's way is past our ways, and his ways are past finding out. And what we got to do is trust God's way. We got to believe. We got to trust him in all of those situations. And John 11 is no different. You remember, this is the story about Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary, by the way, was the one who put the perfume over the feet of Jesus. Mary and Martha, they loved Jesus. And their brother Lazarus, they were close, very close to Jesus. But this is a story that tells us how God can take our broken dreams and turn them into new beginnings. Because what's going to happen, as you know well in the story, that Lazarus is at the point of death. And they send word to Jesus, he's 20 miles away. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. In other words, Jesus at this time is visiting 20 miles away. And a messenger probably could make it in a day's time. So the messenger shows up and says, Jesus, you know your dear friend Lazarus, he's at the point of death. He is very sick. And Mary and Martha wanted us to bring that to you. And then it clarifies in verse 2. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped her feet with his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick. Jesus loved Lazarus. Listen to me now. I want you to understand. The messenger comes, gives Jesus the word, and what did Jesus do? A lot of us say, well, he hit the road. No, he didn't. He stayed there 2 more days. He stays there 2 more days, and on the 4th day, he travels. So by the time that he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Four. You remember later on in the text, Jesus said down the road by the stone, and the sister said, he stinketh, he's been dead 4 days. But Jesus, in the midst of their broken dreams, us here to say, and maybe some of you are dead today, it seemed a little dead this morning. But I want to tell you what, God can take dead people and turn them into life.
Amen.
Only God can do that. Maybe your dreams have died. Maybe you're in a situation where you have a sickness, or maybe you're in a situation that you've had a disappointment, or you're going through a transition in your life, or you have a dear loved friend that's at the point of death that's been diagnosed with cancer or heart problems or something else. And today I want to encourage you to turn to the Lord. Allow Him to touch you. Because see, we got to understand that Jesus is going to take the route, don't miss this, that brings Him the greatest glory and you the greatest good. You believe that? I believe that. Because let me tell you what, Jesus, He could have done just like He did to Noah's son. He could have said, hey, He lives. Then He'd go over there. By the way, I'm thankful He didn't go over there. Because by the way, even though Jesus isn't physically here in this church, you can't see Him in bodily form. He's here today. And He is still changing lives. He's still healing and restoring. What we got to do is trust Him today, folks. When we do that, God does a mighty work. But what do we do in those times? Well, first of all, I want you to understand that they were at the point where it was a little bit before dark. It was at dusk. Have you ever been in that time where just a little bit before dark, at dusk? And life is going to throw Mary and Martha a curve. Because their brother, who they loved, was at the point of death, and they send word by Jesus. What do we do when we face that time when it's just about dust? When our dreams are almost broken, what do we do? Let me give you some do's and don'ts today. Listen very carefully, okay? One thing we don't do is we don't live in denial. A lot of people, you know, they don't want to face the truth. Some people don't want to face the truth about death. You ever notice that? They won't talk about that. By the way, unless the Lord comes again, every one of us is going to die physically. But praise God, we're not going to die spiritually if we know Jesus. Amen? But I want you to hear this today. Every one of us are going to face that. Death is that vast enemy that you and I have. But let me tell you, for the believer, we need to remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But don't live in denial. Don't depend on your performance. The sister said, hey, we can fix this. We're just going to send for Jesus. By the way, they went to the right person. Amen. I'm glad they did. But you know, and don't panic. We don't need to panic during times like this. Notice what it says here. Look at verse 4. Jesus heard that he was sick, and he said, this sickness, this is the red letters, and about me, these are the words of Jesus. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He says this to his disciples, hey, listen, this sickness is not unto death. I want you to know, the purpose of this sickness is that night that Jesus, that God, would be glorified. By the way, you know what? God is glorified sometimes through our sickness. He is glorified through our problems, through our broken dreams, through the disappointments and the delays and the things that happen in our life that we don't quite understand. And some of us want to ask the question, why, Lord? Why, Lord? By the way, Mary and Martha sort of did that. When Jesus shows up, they say, Lord, if you would have just been here, our brother would still be alive. Look at verse 21. Don't miss it. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had just been here, my brother had not died. If you'd just been here, my brother would have lived. He wouldn't have died. What are we to do? One of the things we do need to do is we do need to call on the Lord. Amen? I want to encourage you today. Don't use the Lord as just the emergency time in your life where you said, you've seen these fireplaces, you know, where it says, use only in case of emergency. I find for a lot of believers, they use prayer only in the case of emergency. But let me tell you what, prayer is much more than that. Prayer is us standing here on earth and touching heaven. Prayer is powerful. We've seen God work through prayer. Last Sunday, as I was in the emergency room, Dan took a screenshot of the scripture from last week. You remember the scripture last week, Matthew 21, 22? In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Believing you shall receive. I want you to know that I believe that with all my heart because I've seen answers to prayer. And these folks are going through this, they're having a difficult time. You are to call on God. When things get to that point where they're almost dark, call on God. Don't call on him just in emergency. Call on him every day with every situation. Cast all your cares on him. Put your faith into action. And you do that by getting on your knees or bowing your head before God and say, God, I can't do this, but you can. I give this to you. I cast this at your feet. And by the way, if you cast it at his feet, don't pick it up and take it home. Amen? I think a lot of times, after my life, I don't know, probably after your life, we give God something, and then what do? We say, God, this, you take care of this. And then we give it to God, what we do? Right before we leave, we pick it back up and say, well, I think I'm going to help God out. By the way, God doesn't need your help. He is almighty. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is ever-present. He is our mighty God. And there's nothing too difficult for him. No matter what you're facing, do look for a purpose. See, the purpose in this, that Jesus would be glorified, that people would see this miracle. Don't forget, all these miracles are the message. John 20:31 says, and all these miracles were so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christos, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life through his name. And that's what happened in here with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. There's going to be some people that are mourning, that are going to turn into believers as a result of God allowing this situation to take place in Mary and Martha's life and Lazarus' life. We do need to find the purpose. We do need to depend on the promise that this is for God's glory, and we do need to take action. Look at verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is doing this, you know, we make a lot of things about Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. You remember, he was one of the apostles, said, I'm not going to believe. When Jesus appeared after the resurrection, Thomas was there the first time. The second time he was there, and Jesus says, go ahead and put your fingers in my nail print hands. Put your fist in my side. Remember what Thomas said? My Lord and my God. But he said, let us go that we may die with him. By the way, for Jesus to go back this way, earlier in the text it's going to say, for Jesus to go back this way, they had already threatened to kill him when he was there before. And now he's going into a situation that he could face death. But guess what? It didn't concern Jesus. He was going to go forward. He was showing his disciples that you and I can take faith and turn it into action as we trust God. When things are at that point where darkness is almost there, we need to call on God. Let me read the rest of this. I'm going to comment on a few things. This is what it says. Now Jesus loved, verse 5, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that they were sick, he abode 2 days. Still in the same place where he was. And after that he said, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, Teacher, the Jews of late sought to stone thee there. And you're going back to that place? The disciples were trying to wrap their mind around, why would Jesus go back to a place that they were going to stone him? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, after he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that he may awake out of his sleep. Now, the disciples, just like many times, you know, they had more trouble with boats and bread and all sorts of things, but they were having trouble with this. They're saying, okay, we're not understanding this, Lord. Because it goes verse 12. Then it says, disciples, Lord, if he is asleep, he shall do well. And Jesus spake about his death, that they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Listen to me, disciples, he's dead. And I'm glad for your sake, powerful word here, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there to the intent that you may believe, you may pistuo, there's that word, believe, put faith in action, that you would believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So we're here at the point of dust in our lives, folks. And there's some things we've been doing, some things we don't need to do. Secondly, what do you do when it becomes dark? Every one of us has gone to the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23. By the way, David, when he wrote that, he could have been talking about actual death, or he could have been talking about the fact that we're going through a dark, dark valley. But guess what? I love Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, while I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou. Listen to me, Dave. I don't know how dark it is in your place, how dark a situation you're in, but let me tell you what, in our darkness, that's when Jesus shows up. Can you imagine the disciples? Let me give you an illustration about them. Their Savior is going to be crucified, and at the time he was crucified, things were dark. It was dark with Peter's denial. He denied the Lord three times. And by the way, listen to me, word on Peter, because he denied the Lord also. We deny him by not telling anybody about Jesus. We deny him by not living our lives for him. We deny him by not being present in church when they were physically able to come. And we sit home and watch a ball game, or we go somewhere else and entertain ourselves. I still believe that this day is the Lord's day, and we're to honor this day, folks. I know sometimes people have to work on Sunday, and I understand that. You've got to make a living. I understand that. Listen to me. God is difference in us. Boy, it's dark with his denial. It's dark with the disciples, and says they pursued Jesus. You know what they did? They went back fishing. And thank God that Jesus shows back up in John 21, and they're out there fishing. He says, throw your nets on the other side. Boy, I'm just never irritated with him. These guys are professional fishermen. And who is that out there trying to tell us how to do this? And they threw the net on the other side. And by the way, the scripture will tell you that they caught so many fish, they couldn't even, the nets couldn't even hold. They had to sit in another boat over there to help out with it. Bob, can you imagine that? And Jesus up there on the shore, he knew what they were going through. He knew what's going to take place in their life. He knew that they had gone back to fishing, and he understood those things. But Jesus says, hey, listen, you just get ready, because I'm fixing to bless you. And he comes to Peter. He says three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter says, I sure do. I should be right with God as his brother. Peter, do you love me? And then what he said, feed my lambs. And I think one of the most beautiful stories of someone going from dark unto light is the story of Peter. Because see, We have a God that's the God of the second chance. Aren't you glad? He's the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance. He never gives up on us. And by the way, we should not give up on others. There's some here today, you've been praying for a family member that's still lost. You've been praying for a friend that's got out of the will of God and out of church. You've been praying for someone that's going through a terrible situation. I tell you this morning, don't ever give up. No matter how dark it gets, don't ever, ever give up, because the Lord is on the way. He can still say to the uttermost. Boy, I tell you, isn't that exciting to know that? But what do we do when it's dark? Mary and Martha, their dreams of their brother living had been broken. Only the Lord could come to them and help them. Look at what the passage of Scripture says, beginning in verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give to thee. This is what Martha says to Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And by the way, you know what she's thinking about? She wasn't a Sadducee. But see, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. She says, Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See it there? And Jesus said to her, listen to me, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Aren't you glad he is, folks? By the way, we don't have to wait till Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. We can do that every day we live. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have faith, we have hope, we have a future, we have victory over death and sin and the devil because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is coming to their dark place right now, and he's fixing to bring light to them. But when it's dark, man, give you some don'ts. Don't blame God. Oh, there's so many people that say, well, God, I just don't blame God. It's his fault. Don't procrastinate. Look at verse 29. As soon as she heard that, the master came, she rose up quickly and came unto him. Quickly. Don't do those things. Do be honest with your feelings. Do be yourself. Do reach out yourself to someone who is hurting. And do meet the Lord in that time of darkness. Only he can help you. Folks, every one of us today can give a testimony. Amen? Yes. Of a time when things were dark. And we were about ready to give up. We were, as the psalmist says, at wit's end. That's when the Lord shows up. God shows up in that time of our darkness, and he reminds us that he is the resurrection and the life. That he that believeth, there it is, verse 25, the word pistuo. In fact, you're going to find this word 8 times in John 11. 8 times you're going to see this word pistuo. In me, though you were dead, yet shall you live. What must we do, folks, in our time of darkness? We must believe in the Lord. We must believe in Jesus. We must believe that our God is able to deliver us. You believe that today?
Yes.
Why is it that we're not acting on it? Why is it that we remain the same? Why is it that we want to stay in darkness instead of come to the light? Light brings life. Amen? We must understand that. Mary and Martha are just trying to wrap their mind around it. Look at verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth, there it is again, bestuo, the Greek word there, in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He says to them, and I'm going to get on that just a little bit. But then I want to look at what happens when the dawn comes. You know, today you're weeping over your situation and you're saying, is there any hope, Pastor? Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for my family? Is there any hope for the situation I'm in? We hear prayer requests that people say, an unspoken request. By the way, it can be unspoken, but God knows about it. And the God who knows about it is on the way. He is on the way to help you. I love my dad. He had a call card. He was a pastor for many years. He passed away 22 years ago in August here. And let me tell you, he had on his card, he said, God never hurries, but he is never late. Aren't you glad? See, Jesus was not in a hurry to get over there to Lazarus, even though he loved him and Mary and Martha. Why? He wasn't in a hurry because he knew that he was going to get greater glory by raising him from the dead, folks. He could have just spoke the word, but he shows up over there. By the way, Bethany is about 2 miles away from Jerusalem, and the mourners were all there. I mean, they were crying. They were carrying on. Lord, if you could have just been here, look on down with me in verse 32. He says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light in you. Walk while you have the light. Who is the light, by the way? Jesus is the light. Twice in John's gospel, in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. When he heals the boy who was blind from birth, and the boy said, all I know is once I was blind, but now I can see. Isn't that a wonderful testimony for every one of us who was lost? We were in darkness. We were dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians 2. We were doomed by the devil, and we were controlled by this world. But praise God. God was rich in his love for us. He came to us where we were, and he brought us out of miry clay, and he set our feet on the rock. He helped us out of darkness into light. And boy, if that the Lord done that for you, you ought to say amen today. Amen, what he's done for us. But what do you do when it turns on? Well, I want us to see 3 things quickly. First thing we need to do, Jesus shows up over there and he's fixing to bring life to them. Don't miss it. The dawn brings 3 things to this family that brought life. Look at verse 38. It's the same by Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who shall have believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could believe, because Isaiah said it again. He says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes or understand their heart and be converted. I should heal them. But Jesus comes and he says, hey, listen, I'm fixing to do something special. He shows up, and you know what verse 35 tells us about Jesus and what he's doing for us in that time and the wonderful things he does. Listen, I want you to see this. Don't miss this. Jesus wept in verse 35, okay? And then Jesus said, verse 39, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus said I not unto you, if thou would believe, if thou would pursue, have a conviction of belief, then should you see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe, they may pursue, that I have been sent from you. And when thus he spoke, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus is in a dark grave. They brought away the stone from the grave, and the light shined. In your darkness, the light will shine. The light of the world is Jesus, and He will come to you in your darkest moment, and He will bring you light. That's what happened to Lazarus. He was brought light. They rolled the stone away. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. By the way, you've heard me say this before, church. If He hadn't said Lazarus, every dead body all over that place would have risen. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. But He said specifically, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, he's coming forth. And out of that, he'd already been wrapped with the death cloths, and he comes out of the grave. And look at what it says here. Going down. And he, verse 44, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and set him free. Not only does Jesus bring light, I'm going to tell you, He brings life. Because He raises Lazarus from the dead, and He brings liberty. Because He said, he's not bound anymore. Loose him. Set him free. Listen to me. I've got good news today. If you come to Jesus, you're not bound anymore. Jesus has set us free. He set us free from our past sins. He set us free from our present sins. He set us free from our future sins. Why? Because when He hung on that old rugged cross, every sin that was being committed, every sin that would be committed, was put on Jesus at the cross. And because of His blood, we have forgiveness. We have life. We have liberty. We have light. But may I go back and ask you and I a question this morning? Do you believe this? By the way you come to Christ is not because your mother or father was a believer. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 that we're not redeemed with corruptible things and silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He says, and not by the tradition of man. Let me tell you what, you're not saved because your mother was a Christian, your father was a Christian. It's a personal decision every one of us should make in this life. You must place your faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. That's the only way it'll happen. Do you personally believe that, folks? Do you believe that today? Do you believe? Do you have a conviction of the fact that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and because He's risen from the dead, He has victory over death, and because of that, we have victory over death? Do you believe this? What is the this? The this is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He can come into your darkest moment. He'll touch you where you are. You see, I told my church this before, and I'll tell it again today. What you must focus on is not what you don't know. You must focus on what you do know. Aren't you glad Job did that? Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job 19, 25, 26. And he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms shall destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God. Praise God. Paul told Timothy, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for I know whom I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know I believe. Do you know that today? Do you personally believe? Do you believe? Have you put your trust in Jesus alone for salvation? I'm not talking about religion today, folks. Religion, a lot of people have religion today. A lot of people have religion. By the way, what did Jesus say to the religious people? Nicodemus, John 3, you must be born again. To the Pharisees and scribes, he said, hey, you guys are far away from God, because even though you pay your tithe to the very end of the every little piece of garden you have, your hearts are far away from God. See, what God does, folks, is he looks in our hearts. And the question I ask you today, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you can't say without a shadow of a doubt, I know that my name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm ready, if Jesus were to come tonight, I would go be with him. Do you believe this? See, throughout the scripture, reminded of the victory we had in Jesus, folks. You realize that? We know some things. That's what Peter said. Matthew 6, Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Apostle Paul quotes the church plan. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, when the trump shall sound, and we shall be changed. See, this mortal body is going to throw immortality. This corrupt body is going to throw in corruption. So when that's happened, we'll say, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in God's word. Work because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, we know there's something after this life. And we know there's something better than this life. Aren't you glad? One day we're going to be delivered from all this darkness. We're going to be delivered from all sickness. We'll be delivered from all disease. Everything will be new. According to Revelation 21, there'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more night. Why? Because in heaven, the glory of Jesus is going to light up all that. I don't know about you, I'm looking for that day that I get to bow before him at the throne. And I worship him for all eternity. Now, for some here today, you know Jesus here in your head, but you don't have him in your heart. I'm going to invite you to do something to get courage. I'm going to invite you in a moment to invite you to the front. Take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. What do you guys say? I need Jesus. And we'll have someone sit here in front of you, explain to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's others here today. Excuse me. You need to join the church. If you want to be a part of church that's lived up this word right here, we don't preach from the dictionary or Wikipedia here. We preach from the word of God. If you want to come be a part of a church that's reaching our community, in August we're going to hand out school supplies for over 500 children. They get a pair of shoes too, brand new pair of shoes. And here at Bob for Thanksgiving, we hand out over 130 Thanksgiving baskets last year. The needy families, that the counselors at the different schools, we're being a part of the Good News Club. We're going to go into our fourth elementary school that we share Bible stories in the afternoon for 6 weeks. We do that. If you want to be a part of that, you see Carol. There's some here that need to come and join this church and say, hey, it's time for me to join, be a part of this church. I don't deal on what God's doing. By the way, we give him all the glory. Because it is about us, it's about him. Let's stand together. At last, I think there's some people here that have some broken dreams. I want to encourage you to come to this altar and give God your broken dreams, and he will give you a new beginning. If he raised Isaac from the dead, I think he can help you today.
He can.
If you'll just come. Let it touch you. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for John chapter 11. It reminds us that Jesus, you're the resurrection of life. Lord, I pray for the one here without Christ, they wouldn't leave the back doors without accepting Christ. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not next week, not next month, today is the day of salvation. We give you this time. Give the families, give